And all God's people said, Amen. Established by hearing his word. I have my friend the stool here because a little bit of vertigo or something going on the last couple of days. Kind of like I'm on board, but not. It's kind of like Bob, you know. Bob is around and yet not at the same time, often. Great guy. I can't believe that he's actually going to be going. Ugh. A bobless island. That's no bobbing. By the way, for those of you who are concerned, Bob's snakes are already there in Arizona. Okay, his reptiles. So it's safe to give Bob a hug now because nothing will sneak out of his, you know, pocket or his shirt or whatever is wrapped around his neck. He'll be safe. Anyway, but do encourage him. He has been a great help to all of us. You know this guy, right? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And of course, many of us look at him as the big traitor, right? Because what was he with? And who is he with now? Yeah. Traded sides, I'll tell ya. Generally, you know, this is a question that we ask often. Many of us have asked this question, right? And we ask it often when we are experiencing problems of reception, when our reception is kind of off and or on, right? And usually we're talking about electronic communication. Did you notice that one picture up there with the Bible here and what was right next to it? Yeah, this morning mine would have probably the Wimbledon match. I asked the Queen if they could maybe have the, you know, final day of Wimbledon on some other day than Sunday, and she said she'll look into it for next year. But I also realize that's why some of the people are not here this morning, which is good. But when reception fades in and out, we have problems communicating, and it bugs us. And if we take that outside of the electronic issues, right, and actually just place it in the issues of communication, yeah, when our reception is fading, then we have problems communicating, right? So it's not just electronically, it's just practically when it comes to communication. We actually turn into this guy, asking that silly little inane or question, can you hear me now? It's like grabbing your children at times. Can you hear me now? You know, now that you're right there in front of me. And yes, we often experience poor reception or poor connections in just communicating every day. I believe, and a while back I kind of came upon a truth that relationships are the track in which the train of Christianity rolls upon. All right? Think about that. Relationships are the track that the train of Christianity rolled upon. Well, if that's true, then a further truth would be that good and proper communication are the ties that bind those relationships, right? And it's true. They are the ties that bind. And they are important. And when it comes to our relationship, not with each other, which is important, but when it comes to our primary relationship, our relationship with God, hearing the question, can you hear me now, takes on an entirely different importance, doesn't it? Of prime importance. How many have heard God asking that question? Can you hear me now? A lot of times he'll put situations in front of you and you kind of all of a sudden go, okay, now I do hear you, yes. Yes, my reception is a little more keen all of a sudden, thanks be to what you have done. Communication is important, and we all need to communicate. King Frederick, ruler of the Holy Roman Empire in the 1100s, he wanted to find out what the original language was. And so he came up with a test. He reasoned that if infants never heard a word, never heard one word, then they would just naturally speak that which is natural to them, right? And they would find out what the original language was. It's kind of an interesting concept. So he arranged to have some newborn babies cared for by nurses who he threatened, don't speak to them, don't say a word. They were instructed to maintain total silence in the presence of these babies. And it was extremely difficult for them. It was really hard for them, but they obeyed. Within several months, all of the babies died. They were dead. That shows how important communication is. And believe it or not, that actually is a true story. Pathetically so. Now, that illustration points out the obvious. Communication is critically important, right? I mean, it's critically important. When God created us, and he created us in whose image? In his own image, we became social beings because we were created with that need for communication. The need for inspiration from somebody else. The need to be involved socially with someone else. Him, yes. And that's why the number one rule and number one law, the number one commandment is what? Love the Lord your God with all your everything, right? Oh, and your neighbor as yourself. I mean, don't just communicate vertically. You also have to communicate horizontally. But it's important. And what is the, obviously, from that commandment, what is the most important way of communicating? It's not verbally. Communicate with your love, right? With your love. What God does with us. It's the way he most wants to and the way he most does communicate to us. God created us as social beings so that he might fellowship, so that he might communicate with us and us with him. And it makes sense because think about it. Our God is three in one, right? Trinitarian God. You think there's communication going on there? Obviously, the ultimate communication we can think of. They are constantly in communication. All three community members. Our Trinitarian God is a community within himself where all three community members are in constant communication. If they weren't, there'd be a lot of trouble in this world. The ultimate reason we want to communicate is to feel understood, right? To feel accepted, to feel loved. Yes, communication kind of comes out of that need to feel love. Good communication consists basically of talking and, can we say that again? And it's important for we humans to understand that because what we think good communication is just talking, right? Mostly just talking. But listening is far more important. And for us, it's far more difficult than talking. Many of us love to hear ourselves talk, almost too much. Well, welcome, everyone. We're in this second week of our series called Established, Being Established in God. And you can't be established in God without being established in his love, because that is the essence of God. God is love, right? And so if we're established with him, we are established by love. We're established in love. And in being established with him, by love, in love, there are all these other aspects of it that's very important for us as well, of which communicating or hearing God is one. We're looking at how to be rooted, how to be established in a life that's fully embedded with God. In order to actually be rooted, be established in the love of God, it's important to learn to communicate with, learn to listen to God. I like that one thing that came up there that said, prayer is what? talking to God. Meditation, no, that's listening to God. And a lot of us just don't do enough of that. Obviously, prayer is both, and good meditative prayer encompasses a lot of that. And we have to practice more of it, not just sit there and ba 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 ba. This is my need. No, listen. Listen. Now, in our day and time, if we pray, we're considered spiritual. If we talk to God, we're considered spiritual. It's the same thing kind of as praying. But if we hear from God, we're considered what? Crazy. Yeah, we're considered nuts. You're hearing from someone who's not there. It's okay you talk to them. I mean, people are constantly talking to either themselves or some entity that's not there. But when all of a sudden you hear from that entity that's not there, now there's a problem, right? Now there's a problem. We're crazy. And that presents a question. Is God still communicating? Is God still speaking? Is he speaking to you? Or does he just speak to others that are in different positions, right? And I don't mean prone. I mean, you know, like, Does God want us to hear him? Or is he just babbling? No. Does God want us to know his voice specifically? Yes. In the Bible, in the past, God spoke often, didn't he? And we read about him speaking often. A lot of times, yes, he speaks through the prophets or whatever, but he is communicating often. So in modern times, did that stop? Or is he still communicating? Did he lose his voice? Has he gotten laryngitis? Too old, maybe, you know, nodules? Hearing the voice of God. I love Hebrew because it's such a phenomenological language. You know when it says standing before the face of God. Well, does God have a face? John 4, God is what? Spirit. I mean, he could choose to have a face, right? He can take on human form. Generally as the angel of the Lord or something like that. Or he'll send one of his own angels to speak for him, but can you actually stand before the presence of God? Well, yeah, it's not a human body unless he chooses. The phenomenological language, it deals with everyday phenomena. So there are Hebraicisms, standing before the face of God, hearing the voice of God, right? It's taken natural everyday phenomena and making it hearable, essentially. With Hebraicisms. The sun rises in the east, sets in the west, right? That's a Hebraicism. Does it really rise in the east? No, we rotate or revolve, right? We spin, and that's what the whole setting and rising. For those of you who don't know that, I'm sorry if I, you know, kind of ruined it for you. But that's what Hebrew does a lot. And so when it says standing before the face of God or listening to the mouth of God, it just means listening to God, being in his presence, feeling his love. And the answer is yes, God is, of course, he is still speaking. Just because we may not be able to hear him, to listen to him, doesn't mean he's not saying anything. That he is not speaking. He is still speaking. He can't help but speak. And we can still hear from him, but we have to learn how to hear him. We have to learn how to tune in to him. And we have to learn to not just hear his voice, the voice of God, but we need to learn to actually understand what it is that he is saying to us. And you know what? Just like anybody, you get into, a new class, say, in college or whatever, and you have to adjust to that particular teacher, right? They may be from a different country, and you really have to adjust to what they're saying. And you have to build an ear towards hearing the nuances, you know, and the different accents or what have you. Not just learning the new vocabulary of whatever it is that your new adventure you're taking. Well, the same thing is true as far as God is concerned. I often use the illustration of God as a radio tower. We look out here and see Deacon Tower up there, right? Matter of fact, when the helicopters are calling to find out if they can do a medevac and it's clear enough, we will look out there and go, yeah, we can see Deacon. So we got at least, you know, 1,000-foot ceiling. But that's like God, and he's beaming out knowledge of him. He's beaming out who he is. He's emanating, transmitting knowledge of himself, knowledge of his will, knowledge of his plan, his love. He can't help but do that because he is God. So if there is a problem with communication, if we are not hearing, if we are not receiving that transmission, where does the problem lie? Is it with God in the transmission, or is it with us in the reception, in the receiving portion? Obviously, it's with man. And also, obviously, yes, God can communicate, say, with an angel or whatever. And that's perhaps easier than him, boom, for us anyway. But what happens when an angel pops up in front of you? Generally speaking, when an angel is all of a sudden there in front of a man or a woman, what's the number one thing that we feel? Fear. Yeah. How many of you listen really well when you're afraid? Or can communicate really well when you're afraid? It's hard, isn't it? The one good thing is we find it hard to speak. So, yeah, the ears are open. We can listen to what they have to say. But generally, the first thing they have to say is, don't be afraid. And that was a good try. So communication can be difficult for us. Not just communication with God. We can prove it on a daily basis. Communication is difficult for us with one another as well. In all the various ways that we do that. But it is not difficult for God. So throw that excuse out the door. And yes, he is still speaking. Because he is there. Because he is. God is constantly communicating. He's constantly speaking. He's constantly giving revelation of himself. Whether it's naturally through what he has created, or whether it is supernaturally or specifically through, say, the Bible, through visions, through dreams, through angels. He is constantly communicating. So we can communicate with God. We can understand him. We are equipped. We can know his voice. We just have to do it. He is still speaking. What we need to do is learn how to tune in. Learn how to listen to him. And half of the problem is just taking the time to do it. That's hard for us. That is really hard for us. Until you start doing it, then all of a sudden it becomes easier. And it becomes something that becomes habitual. Something that you begin to not just want, but you begin to what? Need it. Now you're on the right path. Okay, so how? How do we hear the voice of God? How do we tune in? And how do we learn to be guided by him? Open up in your Bibles, if you would, because that's kind of an answer in motion. Hint. Hey, how? Open up in your Bibles. I want you to open up to John chapter 10. Most of this established series is going to be in the Gospel of John. John chapter 10, and here Jesus is speaking, and he's telling us that he wants us to know him. and to know his voice. John chapter 10, verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly. When he says truly, truly, listen, listen. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. And he does so through confusion, right? And deception and lie. We'll talk about more of that later. I came that they may have life and what? Have it abundantly. Now, they already have life. We discussed that last week. They're already living, right? So what is this, have life, have it abundantly? We'll get to that. I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and what does he do? Flees. He leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, there will be one shepherd, and they will be communicating. Interesting. Very interesting. Who is Jesus referring to as a thief? It's pretty obvious, right? It's referring to Satan. And yes, beloved, we have an enemy that wants to destroy our lives, and he's constantly doing that by destroying our communication with God. He's destroying even our concept that God is there to communicate with, right? He loves to be in communication with us, because if we're communicating with him, who are we not communicating with? God. And so he's constantly involved in our lives in various ways, usually not good. All right? Always not good. Yeah, he has no desire for us to do good, godly things, because if we do that, we have to be connected with our good, godly God, right? And we have to be aware of him, but he is constantly, Satan, talking to us. We may call it our conscience, and yes, it could be. But one of the interesting things in counseling people who keep saying, I don't know why I do these things. I don't know why I think these thoughts. And I said, the next time you think you're thinking these thoughts, actually take the time to listen to that thought. Because I know you, and I know that those thoughts aren't generally what you would think. So listen to them. And as they listen quietly and more discerningly to that voice, what happens? It actually takes on someone else's voice, not their own, and they know that they are being spoken to by an entity they don't want to listen to, they should not listen to. And Satan doesn't like being discovered like that, and all of a sudden he goes, oh my gosh, no, I said this is your conscience, you know, do not look at that man behind the curtain. You know, but once he's discovered, no, he won't bug you that way. He'll come and find a new way to bug you, yes. But be aware of that. And the more that you are aware of him talking to you consciously or subconsciously, the less he will be doing that, the less those thoughts will be there. Because the truth is, you are a good person if you have a relationship with God. Those are not your natural thoughts. So don't let him deceive you. It's his primary way. Lie to you and deceive you. The other way is tempt you, which is harder, actually, not to listen to, right? I can resist anything but temptation. So we've got Satan speaking, and he's telling us lies, but God is also speaking. He is also speaking, and he's always telling what? Truth. Not lies. Truth. So how do we discern those different voices? How do we discern the voice of God and the voice of truth? Actually, it's quite easy if you put yourself to it. And a lot of times, it's involving this. Because this is God's truth, right? It is his word. And if what you are hearing is kind of tied into this, or what it says in here, chances are real good it's not Satan. I mean, he may take some of this, but he will twist it, won't he? And it's that twist that you have to be able to recognize. And when you realize that this truth is coming from God, there's no twisting. There's no little kind of trying to slide something in the back door or whatever. No, no, it just comes out pure. And it comes out soundly. And it feels right. It feels good. Jesus says this in Matthew 10:10. I've come that they may have life and have it, what? More abundantly. Not just abundantly, but even more abundantly than you've got it. You've already got it abundantly, so now you get it even more abundantly. And yeah, that is kind of the flavor in the Greek, how it comes through. Last week we looked at zoe, life, the Greek word for life. It means life, it means living, it means way of life. Since they're already living, what he's actually saying here is, I've come that you may have this way of life, this good way of life, this abundance. And you'll have it abundantly. The idea that there is life out there, life to the max, life abundant, and Jesus wants us to have it. Ah, that's great. That's great. But he teaches that if we're going to have an abundant life, a zoe life, we've got to learn to discern. We have to learn to recognize his voice. John chapter 10 again, verses 27 through 30. My sheep, what? My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they will know me. And they will follow me. I give them eternal life. And they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one, and my sheep are one with me, and we are all one with the Father. It's essentially what he is saying. Does that sound like Satan? No. Does that sound real good and like abundant life? Yes. And where is that found? Here. Where can we learn how to hear it? Here. And the more we learn how to hear those portions of Scripture, it's amazing then, as we go through other portions of Scripture, what happens? We hear that truth even more, right? And the Holy Spirit can use that and actually multiply it. We get to hear it more clearly, more cleanly, more often. So yes, it's a matter, again, of doing it. Jesus Christ is the shepherd in this illustration, whose voice should be and can be heard, and whose voice should be and can be followed, right? Okay, then, who are the sheep? Or as we can now say it, because it is a modern-day term, you can see it in the dictionary, who are the sheeple? They actually have the word sheeple. Now, these obviously are Southern California sheeple because they got sheeple shades, right? And they seem to have, you know, some tans, if you can. Anyway, we are the sheep. And if we said yes to Jesus Christ, he tells us it's a forever thing. It's a forever thing. There's no sin that we can commit that would all of a sudden cut that out. There's nothing we could ever do to lose it, because whose responsibility is it to keep us there? Essentially, it's his, right? Now, we can interfere, and we do it often. And a lot of times, in a lot of ways that we do it is by not connecting, just kind of wandering. Luckily, though, we have that other thing about if one sheep wanders off, what does he do? Yeah. Well, the other 99, they're fine. They're fine because they're listening to me. They're listening to one another. They're fellowshipping in the Lord. They got koinonia going on. They're going to stay. But I'm going to go and I'm going to look for that one. I'm going to speak to that one. I'm going to get them to listen to me and to follow me back. Back. No one could ever snatch us out of his or the Father's hand because he, Jesus, and the Father are one. So, you want to know what God is like? Want to know his personality? Want to know how he'd respond to things? We have kind of a go-between. We can look to Jesus, right? Because Jesus is showing us the Father. He has said that time and time again in his word. He will say it to you directly. We will understand and experience more of the Trinity than we'll ever know rationally. And this is the way to grow in that understanding. Spending time with him, with them, right? Becoming one with them. Want to know God's voice? Listen to Jesus. Know his voice. Follow him. And the result of that, again, is life abundant. And I like this little formula. Life abundance equals life to the fullest now plus everlasting life. Now and forever. That is true life abundance. So there are three factors. Three factors that we want to look at here in John 10 that we need to learn if we want to be established in hearing God's voice, establishing God by hearing his voice. And the first one is kind of the summation of that John 10 passage we read in 7 through 16. God wants us to know him. God wants us to hear his voice because he loves us. Because he loves us. And he knows that we were created to really flourish in that environment with him. And that if we wander, we lose that. We lose that. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. Who is? He doesn't have laryngitis. He's not playing hide and seek or Where's Waldo. He's speaking in very clear, distinct ways that we can hear, that we can know him by. And again, we have to learn to tune in, tune our antenna to his frequency. And the more that we do that, the more it becomes normal to us. The more we will live tuned into that frequency, right? We will spend more time with our spiritual eyes open, not our physical eyes. We will be thinking more from eternal concepts than from earthly concepts, right? Temporary concepts. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. He wants to guide us on even on how to tune in. And again, because he loves us. God can speak however he wants to speak, right? He can do it all because he's God. I mean, if you read the Bible, it's fascinating. One moment he speaks using a disembodied hand, right? And what does it do? Writes on the wall, literally where we get that saying, the handwriting on the wall, right? I mean, freaky. That's not how I would like God to normally converse with me. And obviously the situation was not normal, right? It was a severe situation where God had to take some severe action. Another one is him speaking through a donkey. Remember Balaam? Yeah, that was another unique thing, you know. Would you stop beating me, for Pete's sakes? Or I'll let that angel with the flaming sword have you. You know, I would love, it would be fun to talk to Balaam when we get there. Goes, what was your initial reaction, you know, when all of a sudden you really saw the situation? When you really kind of tuned in and you were able to see the situation. It's amazing. But there are two main ways that God speaks in our day and time. Two main ways that he has spoken actually throughout time. And the first one is indirectly through this. And I say indirectly because we actually need, I mean, we can read this, but in order for it not to be just some other book with a great plot and several twists, but for it to be truth, who is it that needs to be there to guide us and to assist us? God through his Holy Spirit. Yeah, so we can say indirectly through him or directly through him, which is indirectly. Anyway, God wants us to know and to hear his voice, and he tells us that, and he gives us his voice here in written language that we can go to any time, as long as we have it, right? Now with our phones, we can go to any time. It's amazing. And we can listen to him. God's will is found in his word. The more that we know our Bible, the more we will know God, right? And we will know his will. The more we know our Bibles, the more we'll be able to discern the voice of God when he speaks to us through his word. And I believe the more that you actually read his word, the more you will actually be able to hear him speaking more directly to you. You're kind of opened up already, right? Like your Bible. You're opened up and you're able then to actually spend that time and to go further than just what his word is saying. How many times have you actually been reading the word and something new comes out to you and you start discussing it with God and more revelation comes? No? I have that all the time. I guess you have to lock yourself away, you know, up in the bell tower. It's fascinating. If we know the Bible in its context, we know truth. We know the truth. What the book is actually teaching us. If it's out of context, be careful. It could be a con. And who's the one that helps keep it in context? God himself does. A story of a man who, probably heard this one, really wanted direction from God. And so he takes his Bible off the shelf. He kind of dusts it down and he puts it on the thing and just kind of goes, yeah! And lets it fall open, right? And then he goes and it looks, and the Bible says, Judas went and hung himself. He goes, that's not the magic moment I need. I'm sorry. I need a little bit better advice. So he kind of folds it back up, and then he lets it fall again. And he goes and looks, and it says, go and do likewise. That's not it. How about third time is a charm? And so he does it one more time. And it says, what you do, you must do quickly. That's not taking the Bible in context. That's kind of playing with it, right? And don't listen to somebody telling you in your mind to do it that way. No, open it up and begin reading, say, in the Gospel of John. And I guarantee you, you'll be connected with God real quickly. Real quickly. And truth will be prevailed in your life. We have to know what the Bible teaches as a whole. Keep it in context. It's very important. And as we get into his word will actually get into us. So this is one of the ways that he speaks most profoundly to us. If you what? Take the time. It also is giving us that perfect example. You want to know God's voice? You want to hear God's voice? Then take the time to listen. And your Bible reading is one of the best ways to build that time. Second way God speaks is more direct. As we had said before, He speaks directly through his Holy Spirit. Now, that could be a still, small voice. But remember, he's also the powerful agent of creation, is he not? I mean, wow. Think about that one for a while. Who is it that you have dwelling within you? Don't say the still small voice. Say the powerful agent of creation, right? Because they're one and the same. He knows when to speak quietly. He knows when not to, when to be powerful. Huh. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity who uses God's power to work God's will out in the lives of his people and in his creation. He does so by working, influencing different people and different things, not just people, in different ways. Has anyone ever heard the Holy Spirit speaking to them, prompting, warning them, nudging them? I have. It's amazing. Or have the Holy Spirit work through you and you realize, hey, that wasn't me. I didn't do that on my own. Thank you, God. And take that for exactly what it is. It's God working in your life through his Holy Spirit. Take that also for what it is, because he is the seal unto salvation, right? If the Holy Spirit is there, if he is working, what does that mean about your saved state? Ta-da! Yes. And take confidence in the fact that you are saved. And do it more often. Let him work through you more often. And I say that because we're the biggest reasons that he doesn't work. We get in the way. And we think we can do it on our own and in the flesh. Get out of the way. Let him work through you. And the more that you do that, the more you feel and see him work through you. Oh, what a faith builder. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible. And the more you will get out of the way. But how do we know? How do we know it's God? How do we know it's not our own mind or an undigested piece of cheese, you know, as Marley stated? How do we know we're not going crazy like the rest of the world thinks? I mean, the Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, to do what? Test the spirits. Test them. God's constantly open for you to test him. Test the spirit. If it's Satan, he'll run. If it's God, no. He'll admit who he is. He'll admit he's there to help you. The same way he works in us, beloved, he works in those around us that are tuned into him. God will speak to us through authority figures. God will speak to us through godly government personnel. God will speak to us through parents, godly parents, elders, employers, pastors, teachers, spouses. Yes, I know that sounds hard for some of us to believe, but if we're married, Paul tells us that our spouse is a godly authority in our life. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. Submit to each other out of reverence from whom or for whom? For God, for Christ. Now, think about that. Marriage is a covenant of mutual submission. And Christian spouses engaged in marital discussion with conviction, we should listen carefully because God is speaking in that situation. Is he not? And we need to recognize that. We need to hear that. We need to understand that. So he speaks to us individually. He speaks to us through godly others. But again, Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2 tells us that the Holy Spirit is the creative agent. At the time of creation, who was it that was actually forming the world from null and void, tovu avohu, into what it is that God wanted as far as the world transformation? The Spirit is alive and active over the waters. He was instrumental in the act of creating the world and the cosmos, which means he's also at work showing us God through his creation. He is still working to do that. Natural revelation. And he has also created time, which means he may use what we call coincidence to actually influence us as well, to speak to us as well, right? I mean, yes, it is mind-blowing. And it makes it even more important, that question that remains. Are we listening to all of that? Are we listening? So God speaks to us because he loves us. And he does so through his word. He does so through his spirit. He does so through godly others, those in authority, those who were married to, those in our family. He does so through creation. He does so through time and circumstance and situation. When is God not communicating? The second point, the better we know the person talking, the better we hear him or her, but in this case, hear God. Jesus tells us clearly that his sheep know him, the shepherd, and they hear him, and they obey him, which leads to a truth. Spend time with God and we'll better hear the voice of God. It's very basic. Our lives will then be better. They will be more established in God, right? In Christ. When we hang out all the time and talk to each other regularly, we eventually reach a point where we can call one another. We don't even have to identify. We know who that person is. We can tell, right? Not just by their voice, but by fluctuations and the way that they talk and various other things. The more we individually connect with God and Jesus Christ in prayerful meditation, the more we're in church listening to sermons, the more we're around godly others that are listening to him, the more we get to know the shepherd, and the more we're going to be able to hear his voice, discern his voice. Amen? So if we want to know the voice of God, we have to spend time with God. No other way. He who spends the most time wins. You spend it with your television, or with your heathen friends, well, yeah, they're going to win. You spend it with God, guess who's going to win? You. You are. So if you want to know, spend the time. Establish the relationship. Regular time to meet. Soon, you'll make it all the time. You'll take him with you. And the more we spend time with him, the more we'll be able to recognize when he is speaking to us. Spend time with God. Learn to know his voice. Follow him as he leads. Third point, if we do this on general things that God asks us or asks of us, and we make them kind of general things in our life, what happens to even more specific things that pop up? All of a sudden, we'll be sensitized to them, right? All of a sudden, we'll be open to hearing God then, at those times as well. Learn more specific things of what we're supposed to do. There's a bunch of things that all of us know are in the will of God. Those would be the general things. But here's an example. Many of us know it's God's will for us to come to church, right? So how many of you debated this morning on whether you're going to go or not? No, you were preparing last night to get ready, you know, so you can be there this morning. It's just kind of a natural thing. All of us know it's God's will for us to pray. It's God's will for us to be around godly others. It's God's will to get into his word, into the Bible. When we do the general things we know are God's will for us, then when it's time to make more specific godly decisions that pop up, the more we know what God really wants us to do, we have kind of a step into it, right? A step up on it. And why is that? Because we spent time getting to know God. We spent time with God doing those general things. And when it's time to make more specific decisions regarding our jobs, our marriages, our kids, our teenagers, our aging parents, we'll know more what we're supposed to do. We're becoming established in a life of knowing and loving God, one with God, established in a life of knowing and doing his will, even now unconsciously. we will be doing his will. We're back where we started. Jesus came so that we can have life to the full, life abundant, life to the max. And you can't have that without life with God, communicating fully with him. If we're going to experience that type of life, we have to learn to hear, to recognize his voice. Amen? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for communicating with us. Thank you for loving us so much that you're not going to leave us here deaf and dumb. You're going to communicate. And so help us to be open to hearing you, Lord, throughout this week, we pray. And not just hearing, but also doing what it is that you ask us to do. We pray it all in the precious name of he who had it down perfectly, Jesus. Amen.